This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad, and iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
This is Houston Huddleston from New Starship, and I'm restoring the Enterprise D bridge, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Daniel Prue, sitting in the center chair this week, and I'm joined on my right by Tel Shiar operative Darren. Darren, what makes you think you can just come on my ship and tell me what to do?
I don't need your admiration, Daniel, only your obedience.
Yeah, well, you keep saying that, but why would I do that?
I don't need your dedication, Daniel, only your obedience.
All right, well, I guess I'll work on that. And on my left, I'm joined by Romulan defector Philip. Philip, you think you could just go to the other side for years and then just come back because you don't like it when it gets cold in the winter? What's that about?
Look, I love this hairstyle. I mean, how many redheaded Romulans have you seen with a bowl cut? I'm trying to start a trend back in the Federation, and I think it looks good. And, you know, I enjoy this Romulan uniform. You can just pretty much take it off and use it as a pillow. I mean, it's so thick. It's just so great to sleep on. And I mean, come on, everyone loves and the soup that they have on Romulus. Like, they just don't make it the same anywhere else, really. But I guess I'm being glad to be back here, you know. A little less green than I'm used to, I have to admit.
And as our listeners probably cannot tell, we're going to be doing another one of our commentary episodes. A couple of times in the past few episodes, I think we brought up Face of the Enemy, the excellent Season 6 Troy episode. And I thought it would be a good episode to go back and revisit. We talked about Troy, we talked about women, the good solid women episodes on TNG, so, and I think a couple of other times we brought it up. So all you need to do is line up your episode on Netflix, and I'm going to give you guys a countdown. All right, everyone, hit play in 3, 2, 1, and play.
Romulan! Are you sure this isn't Nemesis? It's starting out the same way.
I don't know, it's a very dark room.
I hear clicking noises. There's a Romulan sleeping. We know it's not Picard because they're actually, you can see their legs are covered in pants.
We know it's not Data sleeping because he just stands and watches people, you know.
Stares at you while you sleep, yeah.
I think Data is like Santa Claus. He knows when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake.
See, this is why you always ask please when you tell the computer to do something. Otherwise, it's just going to one day just not listen to you.
And I love how you can just wake up wearing Romulan chainmail and totally not realize it. Like, yeah, this is how I always wake up. Nothing seems amiss right now.
She wants to be ready for her day. She wants to be able to roll out of bed and be on that bridge in 10 seconds flat.
Roll out of bed and roll onto the football field and tackle someone to the floor.
For her clan's football game. Go Romulus.
The fighting Romans?
The fighting Romans.
Some kind of bird, right? It'd be like the Raptors.
Is
the Romulan Raptor?
Is their rival the cowering slave miners? Is that what the Reman team's called? Oh my gosh, it's Deanna Troi!
But wait, she's got things on her forehead.
She's totally been Picard and dated on Unification.
Now that was one of the
Does
shorter,
she have detachable ears?
You know, teasers.
Teaser. Yeah. Like Troy's been Romulanized.
Well, I'm sure most people were like, "Turn on the lights. We can't see anything."
Yeah,
Data, it's too dark. I can't see you.
I watched the opening scene in. On Netflix here and on Blu-ray, and even that opening scene where it's super dark, you can see so much more. on the Blu-ray. Like, I can't even imagine in, you know, 1993 watching this on a big CRT TV and how little you could probably see at the time.
Now, I mean, let's see. I think this is like the real... I mean, this is sad because this is, what, season six. But this is kind of almost the real first Troy episode. I mean, there's been ones about her, like Haven in season one when she got fake married. And then I know she's had her sort of romance. But this is just like 90% Troy in this episode.
The gift, right?
Yeah. Actually, I don't even remember what the B-plot is in this, so I'll be interested to remember this.
Yes, you do.
Oh, the B-plot is... I like the B-plot in this one. It's
the blonde Romulan.
It's the...
is it B?
Well, there's like two
barricade?
Bond... two B-plots, kind of. It's the... yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's also the shipyard guy. The king of his castle. Lord of the house. Two tie wearing.
Master of the house. Oh, anyway. Yeah, that's right. The blonde Romulan. So... We can say that TNG has two blonde Romulans.
Except he's not actually Romulan.
That's true. He's just a human.
Well, this has a warbird, so I know Daniel's very excited about this episode already.
And unlike the warbirds, you know, from the Klingons, you can actually see what's going on when the lights are on.
Put your foolish prop away from me. It looks totally fake. Oh, see, Darren, he's a sub-commander. There's not even commanders around here.
Yeah, but... okay, let's not start into this. But yes, no, I'm pretty sure they don't even... like, commander's their top level. Like, that's their captain.
Exactly, the captain. But is there a sub-commander conspiracy?
Yes, there's only one sub-commander ever at a given time.
DePaul?
Troy's head spinning. She's used to... having those hangovers, just like we saw in First Contact.
I like Nevek. I think he's a cool character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a mystery. Like, what's going on? What the heck?
I know. I mean, like, it'd be cool if they had the same episode where you woke up and you were a Cardassian instead. I mean, that'd be like, you were totally...
it'd be like you'd had a second skin.
Oh, wow. That was good.
But that, you know, this is one where I forget who said it. I don't know if it was one of y'all or Andy or someone, where it's like Troy actually knows stuff in this episode that we've never seen before.
And see, this is kind of insulting. He's like repeating the vector. She can spout technobabble with the best of them. She obviously would remember that vector like the first time she hears it.
Mm-hmm. It's only four digits. So
is this the first time we hear of the Tal Shiar? I think it might be.
Oh, that's actually a good question. It might be.
Because Memory Alpha was saying that the person based the term Tal Shiar off of like a Vulcan fighting stance or something like that. So I wouldn't think that bit of tidbit would be included if it wasn't the originating episode. But I love, again, like the I like how she's got the extra, shoulder belt.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's both funny in a ha-ha way, but in an interesting way, that their uniforms are actually different. That Troy and the sub-commanders, you know, so I guess you can pretend at least that they're in different departments.
Right.
You know, maybe Gray's intelligence and... okay, that's clearly a model. That is 100% a model.
What? That planet's totally real, Philip. That's a real planet.
I'm talking
planet.
About the warbird. But I mean, I guess I've never noticed this episode how subtle all their uniforms are different, even though it's still the same style.
Yeah,
it is the first episode that Tal Shiar is mentioned. So,
And she's a major, so I guess the Tal Shiar has more like army ranks. And
well, they're like the Section 31 and Obsidian Order. Like, they get together for all the super secret, you know, bonfire parties.
Shouldn't she have like a 00 number then instead or something?
That never would have happened to the last guy.
You're 00 Troy.
Well, I don't know, because if she's 00, I don't want Q to show up.
Oh gosh. Oh man, that was good. That was good, Daniel. That was good, Philip. Who I just called Daniel. I'm tired.
Well, that's because we all have assumed identities for this
episode. I am now Philip. And
did you woke up and notice that you had less hair?
I think that did. May have been. And it was red. And I went,
I woke up.
Now this, and I can't remember. Well, this is that actress, who, and I can't remember her name. I know I think I looked it up the other day, but she's been in a lot of Trek. You know, was in this episode, obviously, because she's here. We're seeing her right now. Was in the episode First Contact. Was in the Voyager episodes with the Janeway's holodeck program, where she played the Mary Poppins or whatever. So,
oh, where she's the governess?
Yeah. I believe I said Mary Poppins. But anyway.
And she reminds me a lot of the commander that we see at the, is it the Iconian planet?
Oh, yeah. And she is the same one.
She is the same one, yeah. I've heard it's the same actress, but they changed her name because it's not implicitly stated that she survived that incident.
Sub-Commander Taris from Contagion.
That's right.
Got promoted. I don't know.
So this is the first time, though, we're seeing a lot more of the Romulan ship, like Philip was mentioning. So we get the bridge. They really have something for green and triangle displays. Mm-hmm.
Now, we did see a lot in, I'm forgetting the name of the episode off the top of my head. The one where it's the cool one, the time one where you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The cool one?
It's
the one with Timescape.
Yeah. Where it's exploding. Although that was mostly just the engine room. That was the only room we saw.
Yeah.
Whereas this is the bridge. And we'll see the mess in other places later.
They call their flyboy pilot. Set course. Warp 13. I know they said warp 6. Oh, she actually does wear rank on her collar.
Yeah, so this is also where they first start to have rank on their collars. Because, you know, they want to be like their cool Federation counterpoints. Now that's not a model. That is obviously a starship.
That's no starship. That's the flagship.
I'm pretty sure we've been using that shot since the first episode. So,
although, I mean, they're saying that it's Starbase 75. Are you sure that's not 47?
Yeah. So this is Beverly's one scene in the episode, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she doesn't get
a
lot to do.
Blonde Romulan Ensign. So this is an interesting concept, you know, which, I mean, I don't know, it's certainly present day instances where you have a young officer who goes to the other side and then comes back. And then Riker, of course, being racist as usual.
Just don't put him on my deck.
You know, Riker hates Ensign Ro when she gets on board, hates that one full Betazoid when he gets on board. Now he hates this Ensign when he gets on board.
And he hates the Ferengi, too.
Well, everyone does, but...
Rude, Philip.
I love the subtle touches there, where he calls Picard commander because he's still in Romulan time.
Did he say, I need to speak to Picard, or did he say Captain Picard earlier?
He said Captain Picard.
So,
and then, he said,
so then why the heck is he calling him commander?
Because this scene was filmed before that.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is a flashback.
Now, speaking of continuity, this is Spock. Unification continuing on here.
I know, the first and only other time it is mentioned in a Next Gen episode.
Not brought up until Star Trek 2009, apparently.
Yeah. Right. Where, you know, and then you have Star Trek Into Darkness, where they're also talking about what kind of cargo. Yeah, there's just the parallels are... Oh, I mean, that's a whole nother episode, but it's...
You would think that if Riker was so upset about his uniform, he would have also sent him to Mott's to take care of his hair.
And get rid of that haircut.
He'd cut back the sideburns and you'd realize that, wait, he does have Romulan ears. He is a Romulan!
I don't know. I'm sure there's more to say, but I do find this concept different to the other side. Because we're always like, oh, the Romulans are bad. And this guy's like, well, actually, I found something attractive about their society.
In my foolish youth. In my youth.
I feel like,
and they're all like sick to death of hearing nice things about Romulans.
I feel like Romulans probably wouldn't be very keen on taking.
I was gonna say, he's lucky to be alive.
Well, you know, they've already seen one blonde Romulan, so it's
yeah. Is he really blonde? Because it looks kind of like silver to me, but
anyway. Yeah, it looks blonde to me.
You know, this is one of those things. I actually love the fact that they use models in TNG, but this one, it's like they can CGI this, and I won't be sad because it looks so stark next to the space field.
I need to check my hot pocket cargo. Leave us.
So this is the scene where Scotty resigns from Starfleet, I think.
Oh goodness! I do love it. Yeah, they really did go to some trouble here. I wonder if they wandered into the DS9 set for this one, because it kind of reminds me of the DS9 cargo bay.
I know, it was funny watching Star Trek 6 the other night, and it's like, there's the Enterprise D, there's the Enterprise D. Oh, look, that's basically 10 forward. And, you know, I mean, obviously, it's like, why would you not use it? But, and of course, yeah, Troy instantly knows who Moret is because, you know, reasons.
That's because Troy's on top of it once she got into that uniform and got promoted.
See, I liked when the Romulans, like in TOS, where they were like super mysterious and you didn't know anything about them, didn't even know they looked like Vulcans.
Man, they are name checking Spock every time.
I still think they're like the most important race in Star Trek that has been explored the least.
Yeah, I agree.
We still don't know a lot about them.
Yeah, I feel like they're cloaked in mystery.
But when they move, we learn a little bit more about them.
And I love how the sub-commander's rank looks almost exactly like the Starfleet symbol.
Again, they remodel it after their love of the Federation. Yeah, no.
I like that. There was a real major, but we killed her, so no bigs. Which, I mean, to me, and I don't know, this is going to sound random, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Like, having an intelligent officer be able to, you know, outrank the captain kind of reminds me of the political officers in the Soviet Union. Like, I don't know if you remember The Hunt for Red October and all that.
Actually, drew a lot of parallels to that when writing this, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of inspiration came from The Hunt for Red October, from this.
Yeah, I think they thought of Sean Connery's character when they wrote the captain, which was originally written as a male role, and then they changed it to a woman versus woman type of dichotomy.
Which I'm surprised Troy isn't using her Scottish accent for this one. So, you know, because she has so many in her bag.
She could use her cowboy accent and confuse everybody.
She's from Western Romulus.
Southwestern.
Ancient Western Romulus.
The Ancient Romulan West. That's a show I'd want to see.
There are a lot of green horns in that one. And this is where he's basically pulling her around the leash.
Yeah, I get the whole, like, we don't have time, but you have time now, so why not explain a little bit more? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's interesting, though it's true, that anytime they want to introduce us to a species more, they always show them eating. Like the Klingons we got with Riker when he was eating with them, and now we get the Romulans eating. To me, that's a truth. It's a human thing. You always want to learn something about people. Do it over.
You learn something about their chairs. Dear Lord.
But they
horrible table manners.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Why are we quoting the movie I just watched?
You know what I don't like, though, are those stupid cups.
Well, they
are
drinking Romulan ale.
It's human ale. Isn't that illegal?
Yeah, Coors Light is illegal in the Romulan Empire.
Well, for good reason. What were you saying, Daniel?
I think those cups are so stupid. It's like, why would you complicate the cup by adding a second part that you have to put it in.
It's like, I want to put this cup down. Wait, I got to find his docking station so it won't tip over.
It's like, what if you're at a party or something and you're just hanging out and you're like, oh, let me put my cup down.
Well, see, they label their names on the dock stations, and then that's where they know they don't lose their cup. Ah, the old, didn't you know so-and-so at the place that I kind of know, ploy.
This is where Troy does her improv skills. That she's doing a lot of improv in Dr. Crusher's workshop. I think she's gotten better at it.
Well, good thing she didn't ask her to learn how to dance, because that wouldn't have helped in this mission at all.
Although, who knows? If she had the skills, maybe she would have initiated it.
But that is one thing I do like about this episode is that, you know, rightly so, Troy starts out being, you know, kind of, oh my gosh, overwhelmed with what she's thrust into. But as it progresses, she gets more and more confident, which I think is very adept and accurate. I mean, anyone who's not like, you know, 007 thrown into this type of situation would have to a small, you know, process of really getting into the role.
Just watch the Gambit, Picard, and Riker getting into their roles. I mean, yeah.
Well, see, that's because Riker's way better at this. He'd be like, in like 2 seconds, he'd be running that ship.
Oh yeah, that commander wouldn't have a chance. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, he'd either woo her or shoot her.
Now this is an interesting, I think, dichotomy where like. You would suspect that, you know, Troy's the good person and the captain or commander in this case is evil, but like commander's actually a good person.
Yeah, she's just doing her job. But, like she really cares about her crew, cares about, you know, her ginormous ship. And
you know who else just did their job?
Oh, gosh.
Cardassians. I was talking about Cardassians.
Oh, Philip, so she's such a good person, even though she's the daughter of a traitor. I see how it is.
How can Troy sleep with herself after all these things she's saying?
So
I'm going to turn my back on her.
Wrong species, Philip. Now, I was reading about the bridge design and how in their original design, which it didn't quite come out, they were thinking of making it like a long oval, kind of similar to the shape of the head of the bird of prey or the warbird. But the captain's seat would actually be all the way at the back, kind of being like they don't want anyone behind them and everybody's in front of them. And I think that would have been kind of cool.
Almost like the scimitar?
Yeah, similar to that. Oh, well, except for that was filmed in like a warehouse. But, yeah.
I really like this alien design. I wish we got to see some more of that.
Yeah, that's a lot of makeup.
It's like the thing, basically.
It's a lot for
this is a heavy makeup show.
Alien of the Week. So, okay, I'm trying to picture now, in an alternate, like, someone's an operative on the Enterprise, and all of a sudden, Riker just destroys a ship out of nowhere. It's like, everyone would be like, what is going on?
I like how she's still using her empathic abilities. Like, he's lying. How do you know that? Because...
Yeah. Well, the forehead channels actually amplify her empathic ability.
How many people does it take before it wrong?
A dozen.
See, Troy just put...
a Romulan baker's dozen.
See, now, and I'm getting not to be whatever. I'm noticing everyone's rank. I'm glad they actually tried to do that this episode, like you said, Darren.
Yeah. Well, they got rank. They
it's
got the...
Sometimes it's just hard to see underneath their picnic blanket designs on their uniforms.
Well, gray on gray, yeah. Probably.
Well,
at least we do like gold. Is that what you say? What color Pip is on black?
Well, I'm noticing that, like you said, Philip, all of their uniforms are different, actually. And I remember reading one thing a long time ago that someone kind of suggested that maybe it wasn't so much a rank or a position thing, but like a clan affiliation in the weave of their tunics, I guess.
Like a tartan.
Yeah. And so that would also make more sense of why they all are different. But
I think the one thing that I'm interested in as I watch this, like how big do they show everything? Because, I mean, the Warbird is
huge. It is huge.
I mean, whatever people think how big the Enterprise D is, Orbert is like, I don't know, what would you say, like 1.5 times bigger?
I always say that the Enterprise D can fit in between the top and bottom planes. It could fit in, it could be its docking bay. It could, like, repair it.
And then we have the token female con officer of the week.
I wish she was always the con officer.
She just checked out the captain when he walked out of the room. Didn't we just see this shot of the Enterprise? Stock footage.
And then,
man,
still
guy,
calling him Ensign.
This guy's had more costume changes in the last 5 minutes than he's on his third costume already.
Worf's like, sir, permission to kill him.
It is the only honorable thing to do.
Well, when I said it came from Spock, I meant Spock-ish. Like, it's like a friend of a friend, Spock. Like
he updated it on his timeline, and because I have 18 mutual friends, Facebook decided to show it to me. It's a retweet.
Of the underground. Wait, maybe he worked in the subway. Look, I don't really remember what...
Well, as long as he doesn't say the ever-present, what do I have to do to prove to you that I'm telling the truth? And then Morph would just be like,
die! I always love when Picard gets, like, righteously angry. There is no freighter! What do we do? Oh, a liar.
Like, Worf can barely keep his stuff together. He's just, like, growling.
Worf's ready to, like, smack him.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that there's anything that smells like Romulan within Worf's, you know. Which I think is when we talked about Nemesis, it was kind of... That was actually, I would say, the first time... Because I'm trying to remember Deep Space Nine. I mean, Nemesis, Worf finally actually hangs with Romulans and is, like, it's cool with it for the only time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. There's that Stargazer. I still want that. Yeah.
I know.
Because I have the little Stargazer for Micro Machines.
It's not quite the same.
And it's yellow, too. Yeah.
They do realize when they made the Micro Machine that it was... Are they modeling it off of the model? Because I don't think it's actually yellow in space.
It's only a model. No, we saw it in the battle. It looked regular.
She's like, your plan was the dumbest plan I've ever heard of.
Look, I'm wearing off gray. That entitles me. Now, I'm trying to remember, is she promoted to commander in this episode, or does that come later?
Nah, I don't think she's promoted. There's not time for that
to
happen.
So she's still a lieutenant commander?
Yeah. I don't think this is after she passed her Kill Geordi test.
Right.
Her Kobayashi LaForge.
There's a Starfleet base.
Not promoted. Even if she was promoted, why would they ever give her these codes? Like, she doesn't seem like she would ever need to know these codes in order to get through the sensor net or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. That seems like something captains would know. I mean, or commanders, because there's so few of them. There's actually fewer commanders than there are captains, so they actually keep it even more secret.
I like Troy's like, this sounds like the stupidest plan ever. He's like, maybe.
unless you come up with something better. That doesn't make your plan any better, saying... I can't think of anything better. Why don't we go pull the commander and see what she thinks of our plan, huh?
You know this is a serious meeting room because there are some neon lights in the background.
The most serious of rooms. Better listen to her. She's sitting in the oblong triangle chair.
Give us not a huge picture, but a little bit of a picture about Romulan. You know, we always think like, oh, the cloaking device, and here's the commander going like, dude, the cloak ain't all that.
Field officers versus desk officers. The endless debate. Tell us how it is, Philip.
Listen, while the Tal Shiar is there sharpening your pencils, we're out there in the thick of it.
In our big old war birds. Totally not afraid of anything.
Now, y'all were saying, I think you're right that only Starfleet captains would know the codes. But who do Starfleet captains talk to? Counselors. That's why I decided to steal the counselors. Your cowardice does not befit a Romulan soldier. Also, your face is stupid.
And I don't like your shoulders. But yeah, no, I mean, besides just seeing, you know, how their rooms are shaped and where they eat for dinner, you really start to get a lot of this, you know, inside Romulan, you know, political and discussion. And, you know, I think that's the best part about the captain. She's not just the foil against Troy, but she's the lens of
the commander.
Yes, the commander of, you know, of why, you know, what we learn a lot about Romulans. Also, that they have the smallest view screen per size of their ship ratio ever.
Look at that captain's chair. Like, is that like a massage thing on the back?
Yeah.
That is very ergonomic.
The spheres come down and start to get the shoulders. It's really good. She's like, no, duh, I can see it's the Enterprise.
Commander, we have stock footage on screen.
Or she says, there are 5 ships known as that designation. Please give me a registry number.
Are you sure it's not the Yamamoto? No, it's the Enterprise. Okay.
Odyssey? That gun holster is, like, way too big for that woman. I feel like it takes up half
sitting
her
down.
Body.
It's gotta be very
she put it upside down, and it's aiming at her right now. She just doesn't realize it. It only takes a moment.
Look, I think which I always wondered about that, you know, the Warbird is so huge. Like, do we say one Warbird is, like, more equal to the Enterprise or just it's equal?
I'd say it's equal because I think part of the size goes into, like, the power, like how much energy it has, how much weaponry it has. You know, in that regard, it's equal, I'd say, to the 1701D.
Yeah, but Darren, you gotta look at how that gets its energy. It gets it from a singularity. We just get ours from antimatter, so they have a lot more energy to use.
That's a good point.
What good does it do? Like, is it the cloak? Do with it?
Well, they need all that energy to move that big old ship.
Done another other costume.
I was gonna say, I'm surprised. Well, I think Data's been sitting at the con, but yeah, the first time Data says anything.
Even the guest star of the week is wearing a shade of red. Of course, he couldn't be wearing anything other than red and gold.
Well, he wouldn't be an ensign from a lowly, you know, science division.
Oh, yeah, that's why he defected. He was an ensign blue shirt, and he's like, what am I going to do with
what
the rest
am
of my
I
life?
Doing with my life? I want.
Look, there's a blue shirt on the bridge. I saw
him
for 2 seconds.
I want adventure in the great wide Romulus. And then he defects.
It's the old member of the Enterprise on another ship, and the Enterprise shows up, and now they have to contact the Enterprise trick.
We'll just open up the window, I'll wave. And they'll totally know it's me.
I'll blink, and Riker knows how I blink.
See, I want to, like, intercut this now with, like, footage from Wrath of Khan. And it's like, sir, our shields are dropping. Raise them. It's like, boop, 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 boop.
Can't, like, hasn't it been shown that, like, maybe I'm wrong, but can't, like, Riker detect her, like, sense her presence when she wants him to?
Maybe this, never happened. Maybe they're having an off week.
Yeah.
You know, they're off again, on again. They're off again, one.
I know, can't she be like, you know, put her finger to her forehead and be like, Captain Picard. Captain Picard.
If she starts tapping the back of her ear, she'll really relax right now. This is where Troy starts wearing her big pants.
That's because they gave her pants.
Oh, is that clear, Subcommander? Which, I guess, now that I think about it, technically you outrank me, because I'm actually lower than a subcommander, but nevertheless.
It's like, shoot, why did I give you the rank of Tao Shiar? Don't they have, like, an admiralty? I mean, nobody questions the admirals, so apparently she should have just been a Romulan
what
admiral.
What do you call a Romulan admiral? Like, because, like, a Cardassian is a legate.
A legate, yeah.
What is a Romulan admiral? I don't know. I don't think we've ever heard that.
I don't know. A legionnaire?
Wait, are you saying a legate is an admiral?
Do they have
some
sort of disease?
Because I thought...
Yeah, because Gull is captain.
Right, but legate's below... So.
No. It's because Legate Damar, and then Legate Ducat eventually, right?
I think you go right from subcommander to commander to senator.
to defected senator to dead senator. And the cycle begins again.
Life in the Empire. And lucky few that could be right.
Apparently there are admirals in the Romulan ranks.
Do they say what they're called? Are they just admirals?
Yeah. Admiral Mendak. I don't know. It's from Enterprise, I guess.
Maybe they're badmirals.
Admiral Jarok from the Defector.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just takes me out of it, though. They can't just be called admirals. They got to come up with a cool name.
I'm going to still go with Rad.
How about, I was going to say Radmirals.
Data's all like, I do not know what that is. And they're like, shush, Data.
I like that, like, have we not debriefed the guy who defected to them yet? Like, oh yeah, he is around, aren't they? Maybe we should have actually talked to you first about everything you know about the Romulan Empire.
Yeah, this thing called a debriefing? Maybe he should have gone through it, you know.
Yeah, guys, give him a break.
He's been busy, you know, going to the tailor.
And I like how he's under arrest, but still gets to be hanging around. This is what we call the Lieutenant Paris
effect.
This
is where Picard all of a sudden says, okay, fire all around us, 0 degree. It's the best way.
Oh, there it goes. It's about to... No, I'm kidding. We don't actually get to see the Enterprise D maneuver like
that's
that.
That's his favorite, like, turn and turn tail and go. Like, they always use that shot.
That's because the Enterprise D can't maneuver.
Yeah,
that's true. It's like an Excelsior that way. It really doesn't do that much. Oh, the almighty cloaking device. Yeah, that is a big bridge. And I'm looking in the back, Daniel, and I think, yep, that Centurion is playing Galaga.
We'd see him.
But we did.
Oh, goodness.
It's this. I'm so tense, guys. It's like...
I know. I feel like we have 5 minutes left, and we still haven't crawled through the Jeffries tube. Now it's a little cat and mouse game.
You mean mountain lion and...
A little balance of terror action. I know, whatever happened to the cool Romulan helmets from TOS?
They
traded them to the Cardassians.
And they realized, boy, these look dumb. Why did we ever wear these? Stop asking questions. Just go sit in your overseer chair.
I love this. They're going to play chicken. That is the Romulan tactical technique.
What is a Romulan chicken?
Now the Romulan commander's looking at Troy going, he wouldn't. Troy goes, the last time I don't ram a ship. See, that's what, see, if Troy was at the helm, Picard would text her right now, but since it's unknown named female con officer.
Yeah, he still doesn't know who to call her by.
That's right, he hasn't inputted the new name yet.
You, lady over there.
Lady pilot.
Red shirt 543.
Oh.
This guy's apparently, like, an expert on Romulan tactics. What did he exactly do while he was on Romulus? I don't get the feeling that he was important.
Tailor?
Tailor.
I believe that's the standard occupation you take when you defect.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when Garak was on Romulus, he was a gardener.
Gotcha. Wait, are you saying Boothby is a spy?
Maybe.
8472? Why did you spell this out in these petunias, Boothby?
What? Nothing? Nothing? Old man.
I'm an old man. I don't know what I'm doing.
How come you never age? No, I guess that is the strategic weakness of the cloak, that you have no shields.
And that's, I think, first developed in this episode as well. I think we knew that they couldn't fire while cloaked, but we didn't know that they had no shields.
Even though the Klingons had technology like 100 years before.
Yeah. I think Troy, like, I mean, I'm props to her for, you know, coming up with this stuff, but it's, for me, it's the flimsiest of decisions. Like, if I was on that bridge, I'd be like, what are you talking about? Lady, you are crazy.
Well, I think what happens was Riker told her about the time he took over a Klingon ship, and she's like, I'm going to totally one-up him. That was a bird of prey. This is a warbird.
She goes up to Nevek and just, like, face palms him in the face and just knocks him out. I honorabled my second.
Troy goes up to
Hail the Federation. Hail Picard. Hail the Picard.
Actually, isn't it like, don't you just like hit her in the that Romulan symbol and she appears?
She's not a putty. She's not.
Well, they're both gray.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
It's the most obscure connection reference we've ever made, I think.
Somebody just beams onto the bridge and starts kicking everybody in the chest.
A very good putty noise, but she's like, teal me, I can't wear a uniform, Picard, and look what chip I got now.
It's Troy. Wish this didn't happen every season with someone having to pretend that they're
at least
not.
Everyone is keeping their mouth shut. And he's not like, Counselor, what are you doing over there? And then
I want the guy in the back there to be like, hey, that's Counselor Troy. Shh.
Worf just backhands him in like one swift motion. Not in the spoken to blue shirt.
No, guys, really. Look, it's Counselor. Look, you're not even.
I got the black lung pop.
Down it. He's acting very Romulan. Pompous.
We can transport our feelings to between our bridges.
She's trying to tell us something.
She's blinking SOS using old Morse code. Gosh, she can't have another relationship without Riker being all, what's she doing on that ship?
She's free to see other ships. I'm just saying, you had your chance.
I mean,
their shields are dropping.
I mean, when you showed up, because basically Riker does this exact same thing, where he like shows up and is ready to shoot the Enterprise, and you know, we're lucky for Picard that he surrenders.
They just beamed three dead Romulans onto our bridge, sir. Now, I don't know what they're doing.
Now, is that the Borg beam-in effect? Because that totally looks like it.
Yeah, don't take away any of the robotic things. They'll disappear.
They reactivate the comm channel, and they all shake around. Whoa, that was quite a hit. You really damaged us. Data, jump over that console. And Data just, like, flips himself over. He's not a very good liar.
Yeah, the furtive eye movements. Now he's like pointing at her. Totally her.
Why would the pilot be able to locate the transport coordinates? That does not seem like it'd be something in the realm of his expertise.
He's pilot ops. Okay?
Which cargo bay? We have like a bajillion cargo bays on this thing.
Yeah, you know how big the ship is? We got like 20 holodecks, too.
I mean, I get lost all the time. That's why we just sight-to-sight beam our way around.
I was just reaching in there to give you some M&Ms.
Give me your disruptor and your badge. You're off the case, McCluskey.
No, I got only, what, 5 more days till retirement, boss.
You're a loose cannon, Talshiar.
I gotta clean up the streets the only way I know how.
That's right. Sure, I keep on the poker face.
I won't arrest you. I'll just let you stand here on our bridge, our totally secure bridge.
We'll just drop shields and nothing will...
Nothing will happen.
Oh, she's beamed aboard. Oh, Geordi shows up.
Well, yeah. See, I'm glad they told Worf.
How many minutes is left? 2 minutes left and Geordi shows up.
Geordi!
For no reason. Well, he has no reason.
And
to
thank God Picard was like telling Worf to do the transport, because we all know what really would have happened. He would have been like, O'Brien, now. And he'd be like, what? What am I doing? You guys never told me anything. Where are we? Who am I beaming?
That's right, because O'Brien's on Deep Space Nine now, so that's why he can't
do
it.
Oh, that's true. Now I'm sad.
Which I guess they where did her hair go when she was a Romulan? Did they just give her a wig? I'm talking about not real life. I'm like,
well,
in world.
Well, because when Romulans, you know, surgically alter you, they're courteous enough to not actually cut your hair, but tuck
nice
it underneath.
No, I bet you they could cut your hair and then just regrow.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if they can regrow limbs and stuff, I'm sure they can regrow hair.
Did Mott come in and do his hair transplant?
He comes in, he goes, this is all the style. I've seen 2 crew members wearing this by now.
Truly, the face of the enemy was our own. Wait, no, that wasn't the point of the episode. I don't know.
It was like she had a second skin.
Well, guys, the face of the enemy is not the only thing we've been talking about on the network. So here's a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Because it's actually legitimately trying to say something.
Yes, it's very Star Trek. It may be the most Star Trek of all Star Trek.
Yeah, it's definitely what I would point to as being, this is what science fiction is about.
Earl Grey.
Kovac will tell us to experience Bij sometimes, in which case we will draw the Bij card, Klingon word for pain. So,
is it our birthday?
It is. It is. It's going to be a lot of fun.
To the journey!
That's the one thing we could take from Homecoming is, like, paragraph 1, Chakotay and Seven break up. That's for real.
Yeah, they that shake happened. Hands and go, hey, it's been fun. It's been nice. Thanks for the picnic.
Eh, see then. Ya.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Fair at this enough. Point, like, they could say, yeah, why not? Star Wars crossover. I would essentially say, fine, both franchises are dead. Let's just sew them together and see what happens.
Melodic Treks.
One of the most well thought out alien races that you only see in one episode.
Yeah, and the music is it's menacing without being over menacing, if that makes sense.
Axanar, the official podcast.
I think Justin Lin is a fascinating choice to direct because the Fast and the Furious movies, even though, yeah, they're action, adventure, road race movies, are really about a family.
The 602 Club.
That's really cool, though. I mean, I think that is a fantastic way to get to see just about any movie is kind of being able to watch it through a kid's eyes.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So you can check out all these shows and get in on the Daily Trek Talk. You'll find them in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Windows Podcast Directory for Xbox and Zune, or you can stream from the website. Basically, you can find them anywhere. Just visit trek.fm/pd for podcast directory to get all the links. And if you would like to contact us to share your thoughts on today's show, just go to trek.fm/contact. From there, choose Send to Show, and of course, select Earl Grey. These messages will be emailed to the three of us personally. Finally, in social media, you'll find us on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm and on Twitter under username trekfm. Our new listener discussion group is called The Babel Conference, found by typing The Babel Conference, of course, in the Facebook search field, so you can find us there. Please support our sponsor, Audible.com, who helps us bring Earl Grey to you each week. Audible is a great way for you to read all of the books you've always wanted to read, but never thought you'd have time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. So give it a try today, catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read, and that latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Earl Grey and all of Trek FM. And lastly, there's one more way you can directly help us keep Earl Grey coming to you each week, and that is through becoming a patron of Trek FM. By visiting www.patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose among various pledge levels and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. These rewards let you inside the observation lounge of our network and make it possible for us to distribute all of our great content. So please become a Trek FM patron and visit www.patreon.com/trekfm today.
All right, Philip, if you want to discuss the finer points of Romulan fashion, how would people get a hold of you?
Well, they can shoulder on Twitter. I know, it's terrible. And my handle there is NC Public Servant. That's NC for no cushions.
And Darren, if they wanted to talk to you about the ancient Romulan West, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they could mosey on over Twitter and find me under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's D-R-S-C-I-F-I. That's how the Romulans talked in the old Romulan Ancient West.
Naturally, naturally. And if they want to get a hold of me, they can find me on Twitter as well. I'm at 1UpDan. That is the number one, not the word. All right, guys. I'm going to head to bed. I hope I don't wake up a different species. That would be weird.
Think of your hair.
I hope you don't wake up as a Bajoran, Daniel. That would be your nightmare.
It really would. Really, really would.
They prefer the Bajora.
Oh, that's all right. I'll do that.
Engage.
Make it so.
Live long and prosper.
Fire.